Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt.
Wada, 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 wada.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood receiver pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
Welcome to the Cult Side Show. Well, I know I've done one of these, but I've actually seen something new. And there's something after the reviews, too. But to start off, yes, $70 million. I haven't seen it yet, but I plan on seeing it. So I can be part of the cultural zeitgeist, whatever that means. And it seems like that was the movie everybody went to see. I haven't seen the movie this weekend. Let's hope it was, from the reviews, I've heard yay or nay. And I can smell the reviews that are basically, well, if it wasn't made by a black person, it wouldn't be getting these kind of good reviews from a mile off, and I haven't seen any of those. But I have seen a lot that praise it because it was made by a black guy. And that's just as bad. If you make the subject of the filmmaker's race or racial view the point of the review, rather than the movie itself, then you're doing a disservice to the director and the movie. But that's just my opinion. And to move on, the first film is all the way up to Central Cinema, and the second one of the films I've seen will be playing for the rest of this week. If you're in Knoxville, you need to go see this. It was at 1 o'clock Saturday, and I went and seen Triple Threat, me and one other guy. And it was fun. Basically, the story is Michael Jai White, Scott Adkins, and the girl who plays Chocolate, and another MMA guy are the bad guys who blow up a village trying to double-cross and kill Tiger Chan and Tony Jaa and kill Aiko Iwata's wife. So basically, the whole film is set up there. They tried to kill them. They missed. They killed his wife. He wants to kill them. Kill them. That's like action film 101. It should be easy, really easy to do. And they should make it. But for some reason, probably low budget, there's more running than there is fighting in this movie. And it's sad because you got some of the best fighters out there now. I mean, I was just looking for Aiko and Juanes to fight anybody. And Jai was still the best. One, two legs still with his fight. This is still Scott Adkins. Hollywood, find him a good vehicle. He will be a moneymaker. He's just badass. And Tony Jaa, this is the best I've seen him since Ong Bak, the first one, before he went crazy and ran off into the jungle and lived there for a week and come out and made the bizarre Ong Bak 2 and 3 and Tom Yung Goon 2, which they do reference in the movie, and I like that. And another odd thing about the movie is how it switches. It's like the three Tiger Chen, Tony Jaa, and the main girl are having a conversation while eating. And for no fucking reason to tie to English, to tie, for no reason other than they just decide to talk in Thai. And I going honest is, if you're expecting the badass of the Raid 1 and 2, no, he's more like the man with no name who's keeping his motives and his plan under his sleeves until the right time it comes out to trade it. And Jai White is just great. He doesn't trust Eichel's character. And the final 20 minutes where the real ass-kicking ensues is just amazing. From the part where they're having the big fight in the police station to the final fight at the old house, it's just awesome. You get guns, you get... It's basically your top-tier B-movie 90s with the latest Jean-Claude Van Rambo Schwarzenegger film was sold out. And there'd be a few of us that liked the little film more. And I'm one of those people. I just wish it was better. I liked it. Wanted to love it. And is it worth buying on VOD? Yeah. Yeah, if you like it sort of stuff. But if it, when it comes on regular VOD and streaming without paying for it, hell yes, you won't have more fun if you tried. It's good. And plus, the final fight between all three of the main guys and Jai White is just awesome. And so is the final fight between all three of them and Scott Adkins. Adkins plays Ake's a great bad guy. And it's weird seeing him with his normal British accent. But it fits him. Well, probably because it's his real voice. Oh, fuck you. But yeah, Triple Threat, 3 stars, really good. If you missed out on seeing it at theaters, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. Now, the second film called Racist, a White Republican Standout Film. And, no, it's not. If you think it is, you're a fucking idiot. Who doesn't watch the Manu? They're trying to say that Vince Vaughn's character is a racist when he has a black fiance. You can't have both. I'm dating a black one, but I hate all black people. But your girlfriend's black. It doesn't matter. I still hate him, and I've got a black girlfriend. That's your argument. Went out the window. Going, fuck this. I quit. That's how stupid it is. Dragged Across Concrete is the third film for directorial effort from Craig Zahler. And after Bone Tomahawk and Brawl in Cell Block 99, he's up there in my favorite directors because it's so good. It is a very bleak, bleak crime film. If I was going to compare it to anything, it would be to Sidney Lumet's Q&A from 1990 and a couple, and the Friends of Eddie Quinn. That's how it's set up, like the robberies and all that. And everybody is screwing everybody. You have three sets of characters, two sets of main characters here. one Mel Gibson and his partner who get fired from their jobs as a cop for being overly forceful with the person they're trying to arrest. And yes, they go a little bit too far. But then you get this amazing speech from Mel Gibson, who's freaking watching this movie, about how he thought that his good work, you know, taking scumbags off the street and criminals, would be what matters, and not playing the political game, work politics. And sadly, nowadays, it doesn't matter how good you are with your job. You could be the best writer, the best cop, the best anything. But if you don't know how to play the game, you're fucked. And Gibson's character is 60 years old, and he's with Zod, who's basically like 20 years younger than him. And he's wondering where the hell his life has went, because he's done what he thought right, but he never was one to kiss ass. And Vince Vaughn's character is getting married to who's dating a girl who is definitely out of his league. And he's got a ring and on the day where he gets suspended, he's buying her a diamond engagement ring. And so they go after this robbery to break it up and to steal the money so they can live careful. Oh, and also Mel Gibson's daughter is starting to be accosted by some fellow hooligans in the neighborhood. And they're afraid that as it's starting to escalate, one day it's going to end up with her getting raped. Because his wife used to be a cop, but now she has multiple sclerosis and barely walk. So he's desperate to get his family out of this shithole that he's living in. And Vince Vaughn's character is scared to death because he wants to give his girlfriend the best life that he can because he doesn't think he's good enough for her. And then on the other side, we get this black man who's just got out of jail. We don't find out why to the end of the film, but he goes home and finds out that his mom is starting to take drugs and is hooking on the side, while his crippled brother, which is a major player, you never know until the end why he got that way and how it ties into it. And he's desperate to get them out of there before his mom ODs herself and all that. And into the middle of that, you get this crew that's come in from out of town to rob this giant safe full of gold bullion. And it's about how all of them get the gold and the money for themselves to try to better two people trying to better themselves. They are scumbags, but they're the kind of scumbags that are trying to get over, as Curtis Mayfield said in Superfly. And so from there, it's a very slow burn movie. So if you don't like slow burn crime films, I would not recommend it to you. But if you do, this is a beautiful, heartbreaking, non-racist, non-Republican-leaning thing. Because by the politics of this movie, and yes, it has been, it hates all politics. This is about how the poor, the working class, which is the way it is nowadays, bust your ass. And when it's time for you to need help, no one is there to help you. the Republican, the rich man, all they care about is their own money and keeping their own money. And the liberal side, all they care about is staying politically correct. So basically, you can't, you're in a non-win situation, and that's where the title comes from. It's basically how going through life, believing you feel like you've been dragged across concrete. And the way this third half sets up is just so heartbreaking. And it gets grimmer from there. There is no happy endings in this world. There is only surviving. And having to live with the actions of what you do. And yes, this is a very violent and brutal film, but when you get down to that level, everything is brutal and violent just to survive on the street. It's so good to see Jai White act in a movie and not just be his usual action guy. He is amazing in this movie. The scene towards the end where, spoilers, he's shot and he's talking to his friend about when they were kids and stuff. And they're talking about how he had a birthday party and he wanted an ice cream cake. And he wanted to be a dinosaur because he loved dinosaurs back then. And basically showing that these two guys are like brothers. Little layers like that are all over to humanize these characters, but you have to watch or want to know them. And to all you people who are trying to say this movie is racist, fuck you. It is not. You're not watching the movie. You're making extra problem. And that's another point in the movie. When you make snap judgments, you always end up screwing yourself in the end. You got to be able to understand your fellow man and keep going with it. So far, Drag Across Concrete is the best film I've seen this year. And thank you to the crew at Central Cinema for bringing it down here and giving us film fans the chance to see this on the big screen. And to everyone who hasn't seen it, you need to see it. I'm underlining that 22 times. Need to see this on the big screen and really get the power of it. There is really one scene that was so shocking and unexpected in this movie that I started crying. Tears were coming down my eyes because I was not expecting it. That's how brutal this film is. This is on my you need to see this list. We moved on to the last. Well, people are talking about blood, sex, and robot. Love, sex, and robots. Like it's some dynamic piece of work. There's only one story I wanted to see on it, and I've seen it. And that is their adaptation of Fish Night. If you listen to the show regularly, you know that I had an amazing version with William Tartakovsky reading Fish Night. It's a great story. It is a goddamn shame that whoever did the story for the show did not give a fuck about the story. Because this is not the story. They take ideas from the story and make something completely different and stupid. It is one of the worst adaptions of a story ever. And that's not because I loved Joe Lansdale. I say it because it's a fuck. They change. Write down. Steve, do not push the red button, no matter how good it looks. Do not push the red button, folks. They structure of story and just and put it in this 12-minute piece of shit. I will live story show I did, or I will get the short story itself so you can see what I mean on how they took, they didn't get it. They took what was a bizarrely short story and just turned it into your basic horror story. You, and you being the people who made this, fucked up bad. Fucked it up bad. I give you a 10 on the fuck you scale. Thing I've seen this year. Right now, I had just gone, going back, this is the third part, I've done a review. I was sleeping, it was like Saturday, it was like Sunday morning after I had gone and seen the movie Good this on Saturday. I woke up and a friend of mine had called me 2 or 3 times, and this guy never calls me. I was like, what the hell? And I called him up, and he was like, man, Larry Cohen died. And I was one of the most unique voices in genre ever. Larry Cohen just made, Larry Cohen made Larry Cohen films. And they didn't, We Fall. But he made unique films like Cube, The Winged Serpent, The Five Files of J. Edgar Hoover, God Told Me To, Bestseller, Special Effects, the It's Alive trilogy, Return to Salem's Lot with Sam Fuller as a vampire killer. And it has one of the best lines ever in Cohen's filmography. He said, what were you? Were you a Nazi hunter in World War II? No, I was a Nazi killer. I killed all the fucking Nazis I could. And that's just badass. The world's a sadder place without him. It's he made about him, citizen, he died. And all of us film geeks of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and TV geeks too, thank you, Larry, for all of your good work. Thank you. Now, this one gets personal. Okay, I had been doing this for a year. I had just gotten my first co-host, Carl Kafer, for about 4 months. And from that, I got this woman when we were doing our most disturbing films who was bitching at us for being a male, all-male review. And I was like, how can I stop this woman from complaining? I know, I'll put her on the air. And that's how we got Vicky on the show. And we had just moved over to Hooba Zooba Radio. Thank you, Keith Hayes and Kevin. And when that happened, we got our first really big celebrity guest. It was something that Carl pulled out of his tuchus. And that was Gary Clark and the great Joe Pilato. And one of the best things that you could ever have done with your life is just spend 2 hours bullshitting with Joe Pilato. He was a great guest. From me and him yelling, fuck you, at each minute, to him flirting with Vicky Love, and just the whole show was just crazy. And that was the first moment I knew that we had something here and it could be viable. And I woke up today and found out that he was gone. Passed away at 70. Died in his sleep. Always great to his fans and all of that. He was a little weird, but that's what you got when you got Full Tilt Joe. And the world is definitely a sadder place without him. So, same thing, get your beverage, raise it up, and we'll all have a toast to Joe and Larry. Thank you for the good movies and the good work. And I could go on and on, but sometimes you can say stuff with a song better than you can with words. So, as I say goodnight, please, 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 I'm going in James Brown mode now. I just wish I had someone to put a cape on me as I go, please, please, please. See Dragged Across Concrete if you can. It is one of the best crime movies ever. And with that, I would like to say good night with a song. And I think it's perfect and it fits. And it's perfect New York song, too. So, good night and goodbye, everybody. And thank you all for listening.
It doesn't pay to try. All the smart boys know why. Doesn't mean I didn't try. I just never know why.